Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our Lord, it's amazing to me how so easily our ordinary lives can be touched by God in various ways. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving south on I-5, just a normal day and a normal flow of traffic. And as I was in the center lane moving upward, and on the right side, there was a semi-truck moving a little bit slower, so I was coming up on the left side to pass it. And it seemed pretty routine and pretty normal. But unbeknownst to me, on my left side, there was another vehicle coming up quite quickly. And as I was kind of in the middle of that semi, that vehicle, when it got alongside me, pulled into my lane without looking. And it was more a moment of instinct, I think, than reaction, because it happened so quickly that I didn't really have time to take inventory of my surroundings and say, okay, this is what I need to do. But I out of reaction, jerked the wheel to the right and came very, very close to the semi, obviously. And that other vehicle, even though they hadn't seen me, when they swerved in, they did. And they must have come an inch or two from my vehicle. And in that moment, I didn't really think of what had happened, but as that vehicle slowed down and pulled off to the other side and took an exit and things got back to normal, I took a moment and thanked the Lord in prayer for sparing me in that situation. All of us have had similar instances like that, surely, where we could probably count numerous times where we were caught in a moment of danger or something beyond our control, and the Lord spared us from that circumstance. We know from Scripture, as we saw in our readings and as we've sung in our hymns this morning, that the Lord protects us with angels. What a blessing to have God's heavenly divine hosts watching over us from day to day. And that day on the road, I don't know if it was an angel per se that protected me. It might have just been the way that it worked out, or it might have just been God coming down to earth and sparing me directly. It could be any number of ways that the Lord spared me. But one thing that we do know is that no matter what circumstance we're in, the Lord is with us and the Lord promises to watch over us. We see an example of that from the Bible today, where God gives us eyes that open to see a glimpse of the divine, to see one of the ways he protects us through angels. And this story for today comes from the life of the prophet Elisha. We read from 2 Kings chapter 6. When the king of Aram was waging war against Israel, he conferred with his servants, "My camp will be at such and such a place." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Be careful passing by this place, for the Arameans are going down there." Consequently, the king of Israel sent word to the place the man of God had told him about. The man of God repeatedly warned the king so the king would be on his guard. The king of Aram was enraged because of this matter, and he called his servants and demanded of them, "Tell me, which one of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "No one, my lord the king. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in your bedroom." So the king said, "Go and see where he is so I can send men to capture him." When he was told Elisha is in Dothan, he sent horses, chariots, and a massive army there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. So he asked Elisha, "Oh, my master, what are we to do?" Elisha said, "Don't be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, please open his eyes and let him see." So the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The kingdom of Aram was located north of Israel in what is known today as Syria. At the time of our story, Aram and Israel were at war with one another. And during this conflict, the Lord allowed Elisha to know in advance the movements of the army of Aram so that Israel could escape and continue to go undetected. And when the king of Aram continued seeing this trend where he would go where the army of Israel was only to see no army there, he immediately thought that a traitor was in his midst. But his servant said, "No, the Lord has given Elisha the ability to hear what our plans are ahead of time. The kingdom of Israel, for that reason, were always one step ahead of Aram. The scene of our text is set as Elisha and his servant now are in the tiny village of Dothan, which was in a valley. And the king of Aram now was going to capture Elisha so that he could no longer convey his battle plans to the king of Israel. It's no surprise, given the scene of our text, that Elisha's servant walks out in the morning, sees the horses and chariots of Aram all around the hills, and is afraid. He had no reason to expect that help was going to come. He had no reason to think that they would find deliverance in some way for themselves. And yet Elisha was unafraid. It shows just how easily we can have our eyes open without actually seeing. The servant saw what was there, but he didn't actually see what God had planned. And so Elisha reassures him, those who are with us greatly outnumber those who are with them. At hearing those words, the servant must have thought that Elisha had lost his mind and gone crazy, because surely that was not the case. Even if the Israelite army were there to help them, they were greatly outmatched at this time by the army of Aram. That's why they were constantly on the run. They couldn't face this army. Surely there was no one who was going to come to their aid that day, and it wouldn't make any sense to believe that they would have deliverance. But the entire story hinges on Elisha's simple prayer. We know Elisha was not talking about Israel or some other band of soldiers who were with them that day. He was talking about the Lord's angels. The Lord had given Elisha the ability to not only see with his eyes, but to see the divine as he saw the hordes and armies of the Lord around the mountaintop. And so he prays, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And his servant saw as well. It wasn't about weapons or armor or greater technology or reasonable circumstances or terrain that would win that battle. It was about the Lord's promise to protect and preserve Elisha. And he chose to do that day through a supernatural way, by sending angels to his aid. In times of danger or trouble in our lives, we can take confidence of the very same thing. We can certainly offer the same prayer as Elisha. Lord, open my eyes that I may see. The Lord tells us he protects us with angels. He certainly allows us, or could allow us, to see those with our eyes if he so chose. But very often the Lord delivers us through different circumstances in our lives today by different means. It would be nice to witness the supernatural and the divine, as Elisha's servant was allowed to that day, but it's not the basis of our faith. It's not the basis of our confidence and trust in God. Sometimes we look at these Christians who went before us, many people in the Old Testament, the apostles in the New Testament. Sometimes we look at them and think, well, they must know something or have something better than we do because they were able to see it with their eyes. They were able to see what an angel looks like. The apostles were able to walk with Jesus and talk with him. They lived among him. Sometimes we are convinced that, well, their faith must have been of greater use than ours because of that allowance by the Lord. And so because of that, many Christians today try to replicate the same thing. Instead of going back to what God says in his word, what's been passed down to us from generation to generation is trustworthy. Too many Christians focus more on what they can experience from God today. Christians focus today on how well they can perceive God's presence in a supernatural way or in an experiential way in our feelings or emotions, rather than the basic, clear, and frankly sometimes boring to people, Word of God. There certainly would be no problem with seeing the things that God showed Elisha's servant or showed Christians in the past. We certainly wouldn't argue with the Lord if he chose to reveal that to us and allowed us to see it. But I think one of the reasons he doesn't is because he doesn't want us to trust in those things. Like we saw in our scripture reading from the gospel, Jesus says, an evil and wicked generation seeks after a sign. If you want to make that the basis of your faith, what you see alone with your eyes, the Lord says you're going to suffer for that in your faith life. We have something much more stable and solid coming from God himself in his word. Elisha's prayer was answered that day, not just in God allowing his servant to see the angels, but more importantly, in giving Elisha and his servant the confidence and trust that God would deliver them no matter what. Even if we don't perceive the divine, even if we don't experience God's direct presence in our lives, the greater blessing is to have faith, trust in God, that he can do whatever he wants. And by faith in the same Son of God who came down to earth to pay for our sins, we are blessed to be able to be a fulfillment of Elisha's prayer. We are blessed to see with our eyes what the Lord has revealed to us. The same thing has been true of believers from the very beginning of time. The book of Proverbs says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The difference between seeing what we chart out versus trusting how the Lord leads us. Psalm 119 tells us that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's the word of God that's going to bring clarity to the walk of faith that we travel. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, we walk by faith, not by sight. It doesn't really get any clearer than that, right? The Lord allows us by faith to see and perceive who he is in our heart. Peter declared the timeless truth that we have the prophetic word confirmed, which shines as a light in a dark place. The basis of the believer's trust from the very beginning has always been in what God promises through his word. This isn't a modern phenomenon. This isn't just a product of our day and age where we have the complete Bible before us, where things are different than they were in the past, where God does not reveal himself as directly as he did in times past. This has always been the way it has been. God strengthens and encourages believers by the message of grace in Jesus Christ, and that comes through the word of God. The lesson for our story today from Elisha and his servant is not about victory over an army. It's not about becoming a level of Christian that can perceive the divine on our own. That certainly wasn't the case with Elisha's servant. He was a weak in his faith at this point. The lesson for us is not about conquering those types of enemies, but conquering sin, death, and the devil by believing in how Jesus has conquered it. Like those two believers in the valley that day, we are often overcome with feelings, attitudes, situations where we feel that there is no help left. God's message to us is that in those moments, he wants us to remember that simple prayer, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. It could be that God would open your eyes like he did for the servant so that you could see the divine directly, so that you could see his angels protecting you around you. Certainly possible, but most often, God opens your eyes to his word of promise. God opens your eyes to the good news that says, no matter what you face, be of good cheer, your sins have been forgiven. No matter what evil befalls you, God will watch over you and protect you. No matter how unfaithful you've been in your life, God never changes. God is always faithful. When you face difficulties in life, remember this prayer. Maybe it's a financial difficulty where you feel like you're stuck in a hole financially and you can't dig yourself out. Or maybe it involves your material possessions or food or clothing or drink where you literally don't know where the next thing's going to come from. Pray to the Lord. Lord, open my eyes that I may see. What might God in that kind of situation be opening your eyes to? What might he be asking you to do differently? How could you prioritize better? What types of changes could God be asking you to make that could help your situation out? Or maybe it's a health difficulty that you face, which has turned life in this present world for you into a miserable experience because of what you're going through. Pray, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. that I may see what is your plan by leading me down this adversity and difficulty. Lord, open my eyes that I may see better humility and respect for what you have done for me, to trust that you are my physician of both body and soul, and that you will always promise to preserve my life in the best way possible. When you face relationships that have broken down or have been damaged, ask the Lord, open my eyes that I may see. What wrongdoings did I commit? What have I done against my fellow brother or sister to damage that relationship? What should I bring to the Lord in confession to leave at his throne with the assurance that he will cast it into the depths of the sea behind me, never to be seen again? What types of things have I contributed that I can bring to the Lord in repentance and humility? And how can I then repair and renew that relationship moving forward? There's no end to the situations in life that we face where we feel like our backs are up against the wall, where you are caught between a rock and a hard place, where you don't know in that moment, where does my deliverance come from? And though we live our lives in relative peace and comfort compared to what some Christians in the past have gone through, thankfully we don't have an army chasing us down, we have our plenteous share of problems that we face as well. We need protection from the Lord. In our own hearts, we need his mercy and forgiveness for our lives. Too often, we're desperately caught in a pitiful condition because of something we've done to ourselves. There's no shortage of enemies on the doorsteps of our hearts or even in our lives, and that can make us feel as if we are outnumbered. And so this simple prayer becomes the refrain of our faith. Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see your protection. Open my eyes that I may see your mercy and grace when I need it the most. When my greatest enemy is my own heart that convicts and condemns me and says I'm not worthy of God, open my eyes that I may see what Christ has done for me. Open my eyes that I may trust in every circumstance of life, even if it is beyond my control. Open my eyes so that I would see more clearly not the burdens I must bear under the weight of your law, but the freedom that I have from Jesus, my Savior. Open my eyes that I would be led to confess that in my thoughts, words, and actions from day to day in my life. Being with Jesus and being protected by Jesus doesn't mean that evil magically evaporates from our lives. We know that's the case by experience. The Bible itself even says that part of the Christian faith is living with the reality of those trials and tribulations that will come along. But what it does mean is that no matter what we face and no matter what happens in our lives, God indeed has a plan for you. That's not a cliche. That's not just something we throw out there to make ourselves feel better and to cover up the real problem. It's truth. We have the very same assurance that Elisha gave his servant. Don't be afraid. For those who are with us greatly outnumber those who are with them. Go forward in your lives with that confidence and that assurance, because it will make a difference in your life. An even greater difference than being able to see an angel at your side. To have the power of Jesus Christ with you from day to day. To know that no matter what you face, that power never wavers, never changes, and is always consistent for you from beginning to end. That is a tremendous blessing from God. And so we are not afraid. And so we do trust that the Lord will allow us to see that in his word. So we read from our lesson today, so we understand from this account in Elisha's life, and so we believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise.